Jupiter Broadcasting presents this program in stereo, where available. This episode brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com.
This week on the Linux Action Show, we're all fired up over Google's obvious playing of the open source community, and we attempt to shed our bright action light of common sense on their latest transgressions. Then, Firefox claims OpenGL is all messed up on Linux, and this has us scratching our heads. Plus so much more, this week on the Linux Action Show! And welcome to the Linux Action Show. This is season 15. This is the second episode therein. My name, Brian.
Hey there, Brian.
Hey, you are Chris.
Hey there.
Hey.
Guess what?
What?
The supercomputer that won Jeopardy runs Linux. Watson, the supercomputer, built by IBM.
That's fantastic.
It is. So they put this guy in there. This actually hasn't even aired yet, but they put the supercomputer in on Jeopardy. And
you can watch some of the videos of like the pre-taping that they did. And it was fantastic because like Watson was just kicking ass and taking names all over the place.
It's actually kind of epic. So they talk about some of the specs involved. And they also mentioned it took them 4 years to develop this technology. And what's interesting about it is Watson, that's the supercomputer's name, it has to understand the clue. So it actually understands what the question is and then decides how to answer it and how confident it is and whether or not it should wager during the daily doubles.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it actually figures out the odds and stuff like that. Now, here's the specs. And this link I'm putting in, there's also a video of that, what you were just mentioning. Watson is powered by 10 racks of Power 750 servers running Linux, 15 terabytes of RAM, and 2,880 processor cores, which pull together a total of 80 teraflops.
Wow.
15 terabytes of RAM, Brian.
I mean, that is serious dedication to winning Jeopardy. I mean, this isn't just like picking up a couple of books and reading up on random like tidbits and quotes and crap before we go into Jeopardy. This is hardcore.
It does make you appreciate the fact that obviously it takes quite a bit of work before computers are ready.
You know,
to destroy
and that's fantastic and all. But did you watch that little video clip?
I have not watched it yet.
Watch it,
yeah,
and enjoy the voice of Watson.
Oh, really?
It is fantastic. It's like they were like, you know what? Let's not make it sound totally human. Let's make it sound like a robot.
They would,
but like a really high quality one.
Okay.
So it sounds a lot like Hal
so
from 2001.
Watson actually answers the questions with voice?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought he just submitted the questions in text or something.
No, yeah. It's great. Like literally, cool. The guy asks the question, and then Watson, beep, and he's like, who is George Washington? And he's like kind of creepy about it, but like nice guy creepy. Like he's like the nice computer that controls your air supply.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden might just want to turn that air supply
off. Controls the air supply.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the coolest part. I mean, granted.
Well, and freaky, I will bet you that it is easier to control the air supply than it is to answer Jeopardy questions. So they can probably already cut off our air supply.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's the math.
Seriously.
There, Brian. Hey, you know what? Hey, it's the Linux Action Show, season 15. Welcome back, big guy.
Thank
Good
God.
To have you back.
Yeah, last week was the 3-hour snowstorm.
And you know, we also got that's right. In fact, there was also, I don't think this was the same day, but there's another snowstorm where it actually hit us like at midnight and then was gone by, well, maybe that was the same day. It was like gone by like noon. It was just totally melted.
That was the day. Like I woke up, was it last Sunday? I woke up and I look outside. I went to bed.
It was a lot of snow.
And everyone was saying, guys, by like 5 p.m., there's going to be a blizzard.
Yeah, that was what
all the news was saying.
PM.
It was like 10 o'clock at night.
No
I looked
snow.
Outside, nothing. I went to bed.
Right.
I woke up in the morning. Yeah. I literally had probably 5-6 inches of snow covering my street. It hadn't been plowed.
I'll be honest.
It was crazy. It was melted probably 2 hours after.
And we don't get
we
a lot of snow. And I was genuinely excited for a bit because I didn't. That was the same week my wife had the new baby. So I didn't have to drive anywhere that
Good
week.
Good job, by the way.
Thank you, sir. I did okay. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
You proved time and time again
she did all right too.
That your stuff works.
I know, right? So I
well
thought,
done.
This is great. I got a week. I don't have to drive anywhere. We've got a ton of snow. No, gone. Just gone.
You're going to have like 50 kids, I bet.
Oh, no. I think we're done.
No.
I think we're
at
done.
This point, you're on a roll.
It's a lot of work,
you've
man.
You've shown that your stuff works. You've shown that it works. I mean, come on. What's the difference between one kid and 50?
The problem is, like one little kid is like worth 10 big kids, I swear.
No.
I got like 20 kids right
You're
now.
You're doing your math wrong.
Oh.
All right. Follow me on this.
Okay.
Let's talk about money for a second.
Money. Okay.
Now, let's say I hand you $1 million.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
You said thank you. Now, let's say I hand you $2 million.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Now, everything after $2 million is just many million, right? There's no real like cumulative difference between like $3 million and like, say, $12 million.
I've always had a personal goal that if I ever had $5 million, it's just hookers and blow from then on out. Once I hit $5 million.
You have to hit $5
million. Yeah. So the $5 million, I mean, if you could offer me $5 million, then I think we have a deal. I don't know what the deal is.
Wow, what are we talking about now?
I don't know.
I was trying to make a point about how having babies was like more than two, it doesn't matter after that. But you totally ruined my point and sent it to the hooker. Let's talk about GoDaddy.
Yeah, let's talk about GoDaddy,
hey,
Brian.
This episode of Linux Action Show is brought to you by Danica Patrick.
That's right. And
over,
her GoDaddy.com
over
t-shirt.
At GoDaddy.com. So if you want to see more of Danica Patrick, go to GoDaddy.com. And if she's not there, hit refresh and keep hitting refresh. Once she is there, type in the domain name you want to buy, click search.
I like that.
Buy it, type in Linux at checkout, and save 10% off of the entire Danica Patrick-based order over at GoDaddy.com. The really great thing is if you don't have a server yet, you can get a server there.
Yeah.
Also, wait for Danica to be on the page, and then type in Linux 2.0, boom, 20% off of that the shared hosting. All running on top of Linux, guys. Running on top of Linux,
mm-hmm.
Powered by Danica Patrick.
Actually, because
I'm
of,
pretty sure that's what they're saying.
Because
the
of all
there.
Of their Linux servers, they actually make up like a percentage of the Apache servers on the web. And you know what? Good news.
Fantastic.
If you were planning to get Linux Action Show wins on Sunday.com, it is available.
And it's only $11.99 a year.
I know.
Linux.
You can win every
off.
Day with that URL, not
well,
just Sundays.
10% of $11.99, Chris.
It is a dollar something, Brian.
Linux Action Show, doing math since
doing
2011.
Like math.
All right, okay. All right.
I want to freak
yeah.
you out. You are
you
not
got,
going
you
to
a,
believe.
You got a thing.
You're not going to believe this.
Problem. I already don't.
No.
I think it's preposterous.
You are
I don't
really,
even know what we're talking about.
Are you ready for the best pick I have ever made?
I am not.
Okay, well, here you go. I'm going to lay it down.
All right.
I want to talk about Prey. Now, you're probably familiar with like Lookout Security and...
You mean Prey, the video game?
No, not the
Where
video
aliens
game.
Attack,
right.
And like you're like
good,
a
good memory.
You're like a Native American guy,
yep.
And you take
and there's
and you
some teleporting involved, right?
Oh, there's lots of teleporting.
Yeah.
It's great. And then there's like gravity fields.
Yes.
And you go up and down. Good game.
Not that game.
Oh
no, I'm talking about it's something for your machine that
they never made that game for Linux. That was a
no.
mistake on their part.
I agree. But
what
this,
are we talking about?
This lets you track a stolen or lost Android device or Linux, Windows, or Mac machine. And it all uses open source technology on the back end. Their entire
okay.
back end is GPL.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And it's a free little agent, super crazy, crazy lightweight on Android, Linux, and Mac OS X.
Huh.
Because it can use I'm drawing a blank on the name on each platform. But
you really
each platform
are.
Has a super daemon that can you can run just that process that can listen
Wait.
For connections for a sub daemon.
It has a super daemon?
Well, you know, like Initrid.
Awesome.
You know how like you can have some super init processes that are running services that can start other services, so you don't have to always run resident software.
Chris,
am I losing you?
You've changed the topic away from super demons.
You're right. I have. Let's go
now,
back to super
now,
demons.
Now, what you want to do is you want to go to preyproject.com,
yep.
And the great thing there is you can download super demons for almost every platform that's on the
if
planet.
If you run it on Mac and Linux and Android, it takes like no resident memory. If you run it on Windows, it takes a couple of megabytes of memory. And see, what I'm doing here
bad, though.
Is I'm tracking my Mint laptop, my Evo 4G,
Look
and
that.
A Windows 7 laptop. And
Look
I can go
that.
In here, and I can request reports of their current location, the Wi-Fi access points around them, to have them do a trace route, to alert me if there's been a hardware change, to alert me if there's been a SIM card change. And I can also mark it as missing, and I can show up dialogues on the screen. I can remotely lock the screen, and I can also remotely sound an alarm. All for free. And then you can go pro account, which lets you get real-time location updates and things like that. Otherwise, it's stuck to a 10-minute interval on the updates. But you're talking totally free, super lightweight.
Like that.
If you lose a laptop, if you lose an Android device, if you lose your Mac or Windows PC, you can turn this on through their control panel dashboard, and then it marks that device as missing, and you start getting these reports. You can also completely bypass their control panel and just have reports sent directly to your inbox if you're kind of a privacy freak. I happen to really like their control panel because it's got some nice features in there. Like you can turn on other reports on demand, you know?
Yeah.
So totally free, and up for up to three devices. So I've put an Ubuntu machine in there, an Android machine in there, and a Windows box in there.
That's awesome,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually pretty groovy.
You can go pro account for just hardly nothing.
Man, that's a heck of a super daemon.
Right? Well, what I was saying with the super daemon is that it runs for
you
Prey.
Oh, say daemon now.
I like daemon.
Daemon is better.
And then here's Prey for the Android phone. And I've been running on my phone for about a month. I actually forgot for the first 2 weeks I even installed it because I had done it on a late night, installed it, forgot.
So it's not really eating up a lot of your juice.
Crazy low resources.
Like it.
Doesn't even show up as a memory user. It's
like
great.
It.
And free. Free. So that's Prey, P-R-E-Y. And you can search the Google Marketplace for Prey phone tracker.
People are asking if it runs on freedom-hating iPhones.
It does not. But I guess they're working on it.
Oh, okay.
It does run on the Mac and Windows, though. So if you can still hate your freedom and still use this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
That, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's lovely.
All right, Brian. That's my Android
and
pick.
Lovable.
Also happens to be a desktop pick. All right?
Huh?
Yeah?
What?
Let's do the news.
Okay. New in the news this week.
Oh, Rick Breen. Yep, story on the news docket for this week. Unity is adding a 2D fallback option.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, dude? So we haven't talked about Unity a lot, and I thought now was the time to do it.
All right, let's talk about Unity.
All right, so Unity, one of the things you got to know is it's shipping 11.04, and the idea is it's replacing the standard GNOME desktop.
Right.
And until now, it had a requirement of OpenGL acceleration.
Right.
So the Qt guys said, well, wait a minute. We really want to make a big hit, a big splash on tablets. Tablets are ARM-based. A lot of them don't have OpenGL drivers up to snuff or that can support this. We got to have a 2D fallback.
Yep.
What I found interesting was, and the OMG Ubuntu guys have a great article on this, so head over to their site if you haven't been there recently and you're interested in this. But they used Qt, Brian.
Yeah. GTK. Yeah.
Not GTK.
Yeah.
Thoughts, sir.
I think that's fine. I think that's great. I mean, honestly, if you're going to make a good, like, UI, a good 2D UI with lots of animations and fade effects and those sorts
sure.
of things, Qt is a much better framework for that than GTK
to do it in software without having hardware acceleration?
Totally.
Is that what it is?
The Qt guys have done an awesome job at providing a lot of really cool animations and effects and just great-looking controls.
Yeah, yeah.
And even like the text rendering, I mean, it's just phenomenal what they've done in Qt. So if you're going to go the 2D route, Qt makes a ton of sense.
Okay. And I guess, you know, this is an example of them just using the best open source technology for the job. There was some people that were a little miffed because I think people are traditionally thinking when I'm writing something for GNOME or when I expect a certain user experience with GNOME, I'm expecting GTK.
Right.
So it was people's reaction now.
But now here's the thing. There's no reason GTK apps and Qt apps can't look fantastic right next to each other.
I agree.
And almost indecipherable
between each other.
So it doesn't matter if the full screen launcher type panel experience is in Qt.
Nope.
I mean, heck, most people, like a lot of people, are running like Docky or Von Window Navigator,
yep.
things like that. That really, I mean, even if they do use GTK,
yeah.
it's all custom controls
yep.
anyway.
Yep.
There's nothing native about the look and feel.
I agree.
So for a launcher, for a dock sort of scenario, Qt makes total sense. Why not? It could be done in GTK, sure. But this makes sense too.
Where some of the buzz is coming from is a lot of people see this as a move from Canonical to remove themselves one step further again from the GNOME camp. So people are starting to think there's maybe some bad blood happening here.
There's no bad blood, man.
It's a matter of technology.
Yeah.
They're engineers.
Canonical is trying to make a good system. And they are using whatever they feel is the best at any given point in time.
I agree.
Obviously, they're not ditching GTK or GNOME.
No.
I mean, it's all right there. The whole GNOME desktop's right there in Unity.
Part of the surprise was people expected...
You'll have to excuse me for a second here.
You're still healing,
for those
Brian.
Listening to the show or watching the recorded version, I actually inhaled Sprite. I have a can of Sprite here.
Yeah, between breaks. Yeah,
I was drinking between the segments. Oh, it's all like
it keys out a little.
That's
bit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh man, you can see through me if the Sprite can's there. And I just went and straight like I started sipping it. I'm like, oh, this is good. This is what I want. And so I did the whole slurp it through my mouth thing. I went,
enjoy it.
It just went in and permeated my lungs and just blasted
saturated
my lungs
your lung fibers
with Lyman.
Yeah.
And
Lyman.
I am just destroyed right now. Oh man.
So here's one last thing I'll just touch on is a lot of people expected the fallback when there wasn't 3D available. They just expect you to fall back to GNOME Desktop.
Right.
And now you're going to still stay in Unity.
No, that's the consistency. Thing, you can still turn off Unity if you want to.
But they're adding consistency. Now you're going to have a consistent user experience.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
And I think people are attributing commercial type, you know, like when Google drops H.264, everybody's like, oh, it's a strategic maneuver against iOS.
Now here's the one thing.
This is choosing the best technology.
The
they're engineers.
The one thing that I should say about this.
All right.
Now, if they are developing a, you know, 2D acceleration compatible version of the Unity interface in Qt, why not make the default one Qt?
That's what I was wondering.
Because there's no reason you can't have great 3D acceleration in Qt and using Qt. If it's going to work for both and it's a good solution for you, why double the amount of,
do you think
of
it's
resources
because,
to have it in two different development tools?
Do you think it's because the Netbook Edition was already created and they just modified that?
Maybe. But see, honestly, when I look at this, I see this as a good way to hedge your bets on development tool sets and move towards the Qt version being the normal version all over the place eventually. That's what I would do if I was Canonical.
And I honestly believe Canonical,
and that's a great idea.
Canonical has tablets on the brain. I think they see Ubuntu as becoming a very strong tablet platform,
yep.
And maybe they have some reasons to suspect that if you become a strong tablet platform, Brian and I personally have high hopes that the other strong Linux tablet platform would be Mego, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Also Qt. Basically.
Also Qt.
Just saying. There might be a coincidence there because they might be hoping that people can design Qt apps for a Mego-size interface.
And move them between them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they would be able to. So I could totally see that's another reason why they're going this route.
Which is a great way to go. Now looking at Unity, this really pleases me.
Yeah.
I like this. I mean, I like where they're going with Unity. I don't know that I'd actually run it by default
exactly.
in its current state, but I like that they're doing it. I like that they're adding a Qt version. You know, I'm not like a Qt over GTK guy. My applications are all GTK. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm going to be biased one way, I'm going to be biased towards GNOME and GTK.
Yeah.
But I love that they're doing it. So I'm very happy.
Well, we need a change-up. We need a desktop change-up. You know, we need somebody to take. We need somebody to take Wayland. We need somebody. You know, we just need these issues tackled. And I think our next story is directly addressing that.
Now, to point out though, what are the other distros doing in terms of shaking things up? They're using the same looking version of GNOME
about,
for a long
Fedora's
time.
Fedora's talking about using Wayland. Well, but I don't know what desktop.
But I mean, there's got to be more than that. It's a usability change. I mean, if you look at like
it's
OS
for
X
I truly believe it's for
Windows
tablets.
Or whatnot. You know, they changed the UI at least to a certain degree over the years.
Well, I mean, so does Linux though. It's just it's more of a over
it's
the
very
years
slow.
They it moves at every they things move
but
every.
But this is a major change, and
big
I like
change.
This a lot.
I hear you.
That's all I got for that.
Now, I think one of the things that Ubuntu is trying to address is some of the issues with X11. In some of this move, and that's also some problems that the Firefox camp is having. In fact, Firefox 4 has come out and said we will not have OpenGL accelerated support for WebGL or our UI under Linux because of buggy X11 drivers, and people are jumping all over this story. So I'll go ahead and read a couple highlights before we
read
dig
some
into
highlights.
It.
I got things to say.
So essentially, it comes down to if you are running anything but the proprietary NVIDIA driver, you're not going to get a OpenGL accelerated Firefox UI and WebGL. WebGL is nice. It's an HTML5 standard way to deliver GL graphics through the web without having to use a proprietary plugin. And then also, Firefox wants to improve the performance of the UI through drawing some of it through OpenGL.
Sure.
They say we tried it, and it just was crashy, crash, 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 crash your pantsin. Crashy crash, crash crash.
Yep.
X11 would randomly crash crash, crashy crash. Rendering would be randomly buggy bug, buggy bug, bug. I mean, it was bad. Chromium guys come along in this thread, and I got a link to all this in the show notes if you guys want to read this with your own eyeballs. Chromium guy comes along and says, yeah, by the way, I'm a developer for the Chromium project, and we've encountered the same problem that the Firefox team has. He says it's really super lame that when I visit a web page, I can cause X11 to just hang, like a full system lockup. He said, we decided it was better not to have WebGL at all than to have that happen. And he said, by the way, that happened when I was using the Intel driver. Now, what Mozilla did is they wrote an environment variable that said, disable OpenGL acceleration unless NVIDIA proprietary driver present.
Sure.
And they're claiming that OpenGL on Linux is just such a mess that it just is not going to be doable right now. To which I say, Brian, I don't understand why my OpenGL accelerated comp is working just fine right now.
And also a wide variety of games and OpenGL accelerated applications that run great in a wide variety. Hell, AMD, Intel,
Let me just throw this out there. I'm using this Windows software right here called Desktop Presenter on my Linux desktop under Wine. See, there's my Wine running right there, running that Windows desktop program. Which is faking out DirectX to capture my OpenGL accelerated screen.
Yeah, and that works great.
Working flawless.
Do you have X11 lockups all the time?
Never. This machine has not been rebooted for months. And that runs constantly.
See, this is what it comes down to. This is total bullcrap. If the software that they write is crappy, of course it's locking things up. What the heck are they doing that is causing X11 to lock up?
Well, they say,
what are you doing in your application? It is hard. You have to really write bad software. Bad software. I mean, you have to do stupid,
I know, man,
brain dead, asinine crap to make X11 lock up. Now, I'm not saying apps don't do it. I've seen apps do it.
Oh, sure.
But every time I see an app do it, I laugh, do a little guffaw. This app is doing something retarded.
Well, let's be fair, though.
And I probably don't use them anymore. So really, all Firefox is telling me is beware and run away from Firefox because we are doing bass-ackwards crazy crap to your system. We are using undocumented APIs. We are not going through the standard rendering pipeline, which, why aren't they? Why aren't they? Using standard OpenGL rendering is fairly straightforward. It's been happening on Linux forever.
I know, that's the thing, right?
For so long.
So why is both the Chromium project and the Firefox project having this issue?
What do you mean?
Why are they? Are they just wrong?
All the Chromium project is saying is that some guy who's, I'm a developer on Chromium, and yeah, I've seen X11 lock up.
I agree, let's just say that both projects have tried it and are having issues.
Okay.
What are they doing wrong?
What are they possibly trying?
This is
the thing that confuses
me. OpenGL is a multi-programming, a multi-path programming, and maybe they're just using the wrong path, Brian.
Oh, nice. That was very, very good.
I have no idea.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it is absolutely asinine levels of ridiculous. How many games do you guys have? Seriously, let's think about this for a second. Okay, what WebGL type stuff? It's not that complex.
WebGL isn't even that popular yet.
No. It's not that complex.
Yeah.
It's not that complex. It's not like we're talking about porting like DirectX 10 compatibility here. It's very straightforward and simple.
I just was like, well, okay, they came out and said, you know what? The OpenGL implementation on Mac OS 10 is fine. We don't have any issues. It's on.
It's fine.
The Direct 3D implementation on Windows, we don't have any issues.
Yeah, it's
on.
Fine.
So then I thought, okay, let's just let it run through Wine. Because Wine seems to be doing a fine job. I know that's a bad idea, but I'm just wondering, if you downloaded the Windows version of Firefox 4 for Windows on Linux and ran under Wine, do you get 3D acceleration? I don't know.
You should.
Honestly, all this said, Firefox 4 is actually, and I'm a Firefox hater, is not that bad. They've got a great Firefox sync going. They actually have improved the speed. Flash crashes on me like an SOB. I don't know what that's about. But it's not that bad of a browser. And with some of the stuff Chrome's doing that we'll get to
I'm thinking about going back to it.
That's
what I'm saying. So Flash is crashing on Firefox. They try and enable, OpenGL support. That destroys your entire computer and locks everything up. Why on earth would anyone use Firefox at this point? Now, I get it. Maybe some cool features.
Yeah.
But seriously, a simple web browser. That would be like loading up Gedit or Nano or, hell, loading up Emacs and having it just destroy and corrupt your hard drive. Every time you try and save a file.
Well, I mean,
that's the equivalent here.
They have turned it on. They've only turned it on for the NVIDIA card, though. So they got it working with NVIDIA's drivers.
So what it sounds like is they coded it to NVIDIA's drivers, randomly tried to run it on an Intel machine, and noticed, oh, this doesn't work, despite the fact that we obviously coded it to not work
Could
on
be.
This. And then they're like, everybody, this is sucky. Now,
granted,
this is also, I mean, like remember when Chrome came out?
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, no tabs. You can't have tabs in the title bar.
Right.
We have that now.
Yeah. What's your point?
I'm just saying, it sounds a lot, if you read kind of between the lines, with web browser developers.
You're saying that up here in the title bar, you're saying they couldn't have a borderless title bar.
Right.
We said you can't, because of limitations on X11, we have to put a GTK border around
right,
our
that's
window.
What they originally said. And they were wrong.
And here I am in Linux
and
with Chrome without a border.
Oh, and it's all OpenGL accelerated.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying here is it sounds a lot like both the Chrome devs and the Firefox devs go around whining a lot. And they whine about, oh my gosh, can't make things work on Linux. Oh, software on Linux.
It's hard.
Oh, you can't use development tools on Linux.
On Linux.
Are you freaking kidding with me? Yeah. So here's the thing. I make software for every platform. Every platform. This is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I make software that runs on Mac and Windows and Linux and iPhone and Android and everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Flash apps. I do 99.9% of it all on a Linux desktop.
Right.
Because developing software on Linux is easy. Developing software on Linux is well done. Developing software on Linux is a wonderful experience. I've never had issues with OpenGL. I've never had issues with anything else. And the Firefox guys come along with their track record of continually buggier, crashier,
and the Chrome guys.
Crappier applications.
Chrome's been better.
Literally, Firefox takes up like 18 gigawatts of memory on my system.
That's a lot of memory, dude.
And it crashes every 12 seconds. And it crashes when you try and play a Flash video.
Yep.
Whether you play it with the open source Flash stuff, whether you, with Nash.
It also takes about 45 minutes to start for the first time.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And they literally come along and are trying to badmouth the OpenGL implementation on Linux. Could the OpenGL implementation on Linux use some improvement?
Sure.
Of course. Just like it could use some improvement on Mac.
Well, actually,
or on Windows.
They did say the OpenGL is just awful on Windows, too, and the only saving grace is Direct3D on Windows. So maybe it's an OpenGL implementation issue.
But see, it works fine.
You're right.
Again.
You're right.
Compiz.
And why not just use Compiz? Couldn't they render through Compiz like Unity's going to do?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's
why not?
There's easy ways to render a bajillion different ways of a 3D surface. No big deal.
I'm just saying, if they can't manage it, don't reinvent the wheel. Just use a project. Use another open source project that's already solved this problem for you and write to that.
But basically, this is Firefox saying, hey, now, and again, I have no problems using the proprietary NVIDIA drivers. I have no qualms with that whatsoever.
Okay.
There's no moral issue inside of me that says I can't use that.
Yeah, same.
But just the same, I don't like that NVIDIA is coming along and saying you can only work with the NVIDIA driver. This is not some kick-ass game. This is not like BioShock 3 coming along and saying, you know what?
Yeah.
We can only eck out the best performance with NVIDIA cards, so that's what we're going to require.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a freaking web browser doing very basic 3D shapes in a web scripting language that nobody has ever used before. Seriously, this tells me is I'm never going to use Firefox.
Do you like how Firefox sits on their high horse? They make $100 million from search revenue alone. That's despite any other third-party deals that they have.
Yep.
They sit there and say, well, we're not going to pay the $6.5 million to license H.264 because it's a closed codec. But by the way, if you want 3D acceleration, you have to use a proprietary NVIDIA driver.
Yes. Makes no sense to me.
Double standard. You know what? I'm all fired up, bro. I'm all fired up.
All right. Now, we've got... All right, we got more news to get through, don't we?
No, I think that was really the last story I wanted to dig through.
All right, because we got stuff coming up next segment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just clear my head. I'm gonna drink some more Sprite.
Time to take a deep breath.
I'm gonna take a deep breath because we got something really fiery.
And
to
I don't
talk about
I don't want
to
burn a hole in my microphone.
Yeah, no, yeah, no. All right, so everybody, pause, go potty break, come back. Like a little cup of tea, a peppermint tea or something. Not caffeinated, your head will explode. Now, everybody, listen up for a minute.
Oh.
We're about to get into a topic that is going to be labeled as a bash fest.
They're
going to
say we'd be trolling.
Right. I want to be very clear up front that... We are not anti-company.
Nope.
We like companies just fine.
We like profits.
Profits are great. I am not the kind of guy that goes around, heck, I'm okay with most of how Microsoft does business. I have some issues with them, but I'm generally okay with it. So
okay. I wanted to say too, though, I want to make sure we're clear. We're not open standards. We're not anti-open standards. We're not anti-open codecs and things like that. We're going to be talking a lot about Google's decision this week, and I just want to put all that out there at first. Because some of it's going to sound like we're anti-WebM and we're anti-VP8.
Right.
And it's not about that.
But we've got some issues with Google. And we're going to be talking about those issues and we with very, very matter-of-factly we're going to get a little heated because, honestly, I think both of us have got some pretty passionate feelings about this.
Yeah.
So take that in mind.
In case this gets lost as we get going, the core of my frustration that I want to get out to everyone is I feel that Google is playing the open source community to get them, to fool them into rallying around their causes that actually don't have honest motivations.
Right.
And so that's what's got me upset, is I feel like the open source community is being fooled.
Yes.
And that's what I want. So this really came to a head for me this last week when Google announced they're dropping support for H.264.
Right.
I'm kind of on the record as being a supporter of H.264, but that's just simply because I'm a supporter of good technology.
Right. We release a lot of video, and we like to be able to release it in high quality without destroying our servers that lots of people can watch.
It's a storage issue. It's a bandwidth issue. But let's also put it into perspective. It's also a market penetration issue. At this point, H.264 has the pleasure of being pre-distributed on every consumer camcorder that writes to SD cards, every Android device sold on the market that records video.
So I want to
records in H.264.
Be clear about this.
It's a penetrated format.
So Google. So let's just back up. Google came out and on the record was like, you know, hey, we're going to drop H.264 from Chrome.
For the video HTML5 tags.
Right.
So just for HTML5 video.
So we do not want people to use their web browser to play H.264 video because, and the reason that they came out with was that it's an anti-open standard. It's not an open standard.
It's patent encumbered.
Yes.
It's got a royalty distribution license with it, which isn't good. And let's be frank, Google doesn't own all of the IP to it.
Right, so that's a big deal. So they came out and they said, you know what, but WebM, that is free.
WebM, believe we've bought up all of the patent rights,
right,
and we're gonna hand it out to the web for free to use.
Right, so they are supporting WebM for the HTML5 tag, but not H.264.
And Ogg Theora.
So now, however, WebM is not supported by their operating system. So
Android.
By Android, the operating system that they've been pushing for, and you can record video on it. It records in H.264.
Right.
Every Android handset.
Yep.
So Chris mentioned this to me the other day, and I've been doing some digging around trying to find an Android handset
that
you could record WebM in.
Can't.
You can't.
There's not even. Now, here's the big response everybody comes up with. Well, Brian, in Q1 2011, and maybe you didn't know this, but this is Q1 2011.
Yeah, that's true.
There's going to be hardware chips that are capable of decoding WebM.
Okay.
That doesn't mean there's a device shipping with that chip.
There's no device.
And that's decoding, not encoding, so you can't record with it. And there's billions of devices in the market now that support H.264.
A ton of them.
Every portable player that does video does H.264.
And a ton of them with the Google logo stamped on the back.
Like those flip cams built for YouTube. They record in H.264.
Oh, it's built for YouTube. Who owns YouTube? Hold on a second. Let me load this up.
Oh, Wikipedia. Over there.
What's Wikipedia? Gosh, that's listed as the number one subsidiary is YouTube.
You know what else is on this page? Is you mentioned there that Google earns a total revenue of like 620 something? $497 billion.
Tons of money. Now, worth noting that based on their own earnings statements, 99%+ of Google's revenue is derived from advertising.
Right.
Now, that advertising, so let's be clear about this. We're throwing a lot of stuff around right now.
Yeah, we are.
So, Google is an advertising company. Now, think about this for a second. Why would Google want to ever limit what sort of videos can or can't be played via their own software?
Well, I'll tell you.
What benefit is there for them?
If you can't play H.264 natively in Chrome, so Chrome has about 13% of the market right now.
Right.
Which is
impressive.
So you know, in online marketing, there are segments of the market that are known for things like, this segment of the market, super high tech, spends a lot of money. So we're going to really target ads to them because they really have a good turnaround. That's what the Chrome group of users is considered. And that's how Google brands them to potential advertisers.
Okay.
So, in fact, I have received an email from Google Chrome that says, optimize your site to work in Google Chrome OS because Google Chrome OS users are, and it lists all of these, first time adopters, all this stuff. So they're an important segment of the market, that 13%, and it's growing. And when you eliminate the ability to play back H.264, What happens is you then are only able to play H.264 back in the only other means that Google Chrome allows you to do so, and that is with their pre-bundled, built-in, out-of-the-box Flash player.
And again, proprietary, closed-source, non-standards Flash player.
And it is now the only way to play H.264.
That supports H.264. So Google is not eliminating H.264 right. playback. They're simply making it harder for people to use H.264 without Flash.
So then the argument is, well, people could re-encode to WebM, Brian. But okay, that 13% of the market can still be served with Flash. So I don't have to change anything.
Anything.
And Jupiter Broadcasting has roughly 700 videos in our back catalog.
Right.
Okay? You figure each video probably took about an hour to 2 hours total to encode. If I were, and WebM takes twice as long as H.264 to encode.
At least.
It actually takes longer than twice. But the new optimized FFM MPEG build yeah. is trying to get the time down. But it's still twice as long as X.264, which is what we use today. So if you took 700 videos at 1 hour each to re-encode, let's just be fair. Let's say it's double. So say 4 hours.
Okay.
So you took 700 videos, 4 hours times 700 is how long it would take us to re-encode our back catalog to WebM.
And here's the thing.
And we could not release another video while we do that.
And
we don't
have
the resources.
We're not going to do that math for you right now because we're bad at math. We're very clear about that.
And we're a small network. Okay?
And we're tiny.
There's huge, gigantic corporations
could
that have
imagine?
Thousands of videos
could you
in
imagine
H.264?
If like CNN or MSNBC or one of those big networks that has like a million videos on their
right.
things. And what they would have to do to be able to accomplish that, it is insurmountable.
Right.
It is impossible. It is at the
it's
point where literally they'd just be like, well,
it's not
I
achievable.
Guess it's not fiscally viable to keep our website open now. Let's just close it and start a WordPress
Or blog. Your alternative option is deliver all of your content that you already have created and continue to deliver exactly the same way you deliver your content today. Just put it in Flash if you're not already. But good chances are you already are, so you just keep doing the exact same thing you're already doing. You don't have to change a single thing to support Chrome. You just keep using Flash. And now we're looping right back. Brian mentioned the ad revenues. Where does Google, if you look at their filings, where does Google predict a ton of ad revenue to come from? Online video ads. You know those little pop-ups that come up when you're watching a video? Guess who supplies those ads? It's Google. And guess what technology they have to deliver those video pop-up ads? It has to be Flash. There isn't a technology today to deliver those ads via HTML5 video. There's companies working on it, but it's not there yet.
It's
not deployed. And you would have to get every other browser to adopt that same technology. And nobody's going to want to do that because it's not part of the HTML5 spec.
Right.
Secondarily, no one else except for Google, Firefox, and Opera will deploy WebM support. This is going to lock us into Flash because of that. Because WebM was developed by Onto behind closed doors and then bought up by Google. Surprisingly, H.264 was actually developed in the public by a consortium of companies. Yes, evil for-profit companies that do earn a dollar. That dollar is capped at $6.5 million, depending on your size. So at most, Google was paying out $6.5 million to distribute H.264. Well, Google makes about $500 billion a year off ads. So I think they could support and afford that $6.5 million.
But now, however, I mean, still,
they don't have
many millions of dollars. I mean, that's a lot of money to
it
shell
is.
Out.
It is,
I mean,
sure.
Even if you're making a bajillion bucks.
Absolutely.
So I get it. You know, maybe they're trying to cut costs. I'm okay with that, too.
Sure.
However, it does strike me as strange that their reason coming out is
openness.
Saying openness when they are clearly not embracing openness. Now, on the openness front, how open is Google being right now? Really. I mean, really think about it.
Well, WebM was completely built behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors.
Android 2.4, Android 3.0.
There's no source available.
All behind closed doors.
All behind closed doors.
Hmm.
You know, they're pre-bundling Flash with all of their browsers.
They're also pre-bundling built-in, baked into Chrome, the PDF, Adobe PDF Viewer, which is also proprietary.
Right.
And that's included in the browser.
Now, again, I have no problem with any of that. There is
it makes life
there.
Easier.
I'm okay with that. Now, I also am a big proponent of being able to choose whether you want that or not,
mm-hmm.
but I have no problem with the company saying, hey, I think this is good for us, maybe good for you. Here, have some Flash, have some PDF viewing, have all that. Fine, no problem. But don't come out and tell me with your mouth full of garbage that you are trying to promote freedom by taking away your ability in one of your 27,000 products, the ability to play one specific file format via one mechanism mm-hmm. when you support it via another mechanism in the same product. That is obviously wrong. You are obviously not telling me the truth at that point.
Right.
Now, I don't
know. It's apparent. It's obvious.
I don't know what's going on inside Google. I do not work for Google. I don't have any inside knowledge. You know, the CEO of Google has never called me up and been like, "Hi, Brian. So just so you know, we're totally lying about this, but here's why." I've never heard any of that. Right. I don't have any of that information.
Right.
I'm just looking at this from the outside thinking, if I were running Google,
right.
Why would I do this?
I'll tell you what I'd do, Brian.
And now maybe if they came out and said, you know what, hey, you know, this is going to be a long, tough road.
Yeah, we know it's going to be tough.
And, you know, we just don't know how to do it all. But here's our roadmap. And, you know, we're gonna you know, take this out of Android. We're going to take this out of Chrome. And
take
we're
it out of YouTube. Sure,
yeah, we're gonna do all of that. Then I'd be like, okay, you know what? They're committed. But they're not doing that. They simply are making it so that it's more likely that people will use Flash in Chrome. That's the only net effect
and
that
actually,
I can see.
If you read the Adobe Flash blog, I'm not sure if it's the development, there's a couple different Flash blogs, and I'll try to link to it in the show notes. They are ecstatic.
Of course they are.
So that just shows you that we're locking into Flash here. And I was touching on the reason why, you know, Microsoft and Apple will never ship WebM support or likely won't. First of all, Microsoft already put an article out or a blog post that mocks the decision and claims it's dropping English. And it's weird to sort of agree with Microsoft on something.
Yeah.
But they've both, Microsoft and Apple, come out and said, there's some legal questions around WebM, just like they did with Ogg Theora. It's the same way they cock-blocked Ogg Theora. They're now going to cock-block WebM.
Right.
And it's just going to happen. We're not going to get it through because they're going to, there's legal issues. If you look at the way Microsoft and Apple break this down, they're going to say, well, look, we're part of the MPEG-LA. We're not going to get sued.
Right.
We've paid this licensing fee. We've paid our cap.
Yeah,
we know
good.
We're safe. This is a known issue that we can quantize and plan for, and this is an unknown issue that Google could pull the rug out from underneath us. We're never going to go this way. So IE and Safari, which ship by default with the two largest desktop platforms, will never have WebM support.
Right.
So we're going to stick with Flash.
Certainly never.
So desktop Linux users get the biggest bone out of all of this because Flash sucks on Linux.
Yep.
And then desktop Linux users are also likely to be Android users, which means the millions of Android devices out there are shooting video in a format that their people's own browser is not going to be able to play back soon.
Yes.
And I was told on Twitter, well, you could just upload the video to YouTube to get it converted to WebM. Yeah, I'm going to, from my phone, upload 100 videos to YouTube to get them converted so I can get them back again.
Right, in a lossy format.
Yeah.
Right. So this is where I don't get it. I simply do not understand. I've seen a lot of people coming out and saying, hey, this is great. I love seeing Google support open standards. I've seen a lot of that. I've gotten emails and comments.
That's
and
the
all
biggest
sorts
blowback
of things
I've
this.
Gotten is, Chris, you know, when you rant against this, you're ranting against open standards. We need to have faith. We need to have faith in Google that they're going to do the right thing. Google has to make money.
It's an advertising
firm. They have a legal responsibility to their shareholders to make money from advertising. And they make that advertising. And look at their reports, dude. They plan to make more advertising revenue from Flash video ads. It's in their projections. In fact, Brian, in 2008, in a financial statement, they said, if we cannot lock in and guarantee future ad revenue growth from online video, we may have to consider discontinuing online video distribution.
Right.
They put that in a financial advisory.
Right.
Public financial advisory. And the way they make money is with Flash ads on video.
And
what they're doing by bundling Flash with Chrome and by saying the only way that all of the video online, and let's be honest, it at this point is pretty much all of the video online. Even when you watch something in Flash, you're watching H.264 played in Flash.
Right.
So what they're saying is we're not going to support all of the video online, and statistically that's accurate, and we're
going
to stick with Flash.
We're just including it.
We want to support right there.
The stream that is going to provide us the most direct revenue. And that is fine. Actually, if Google came out and said, you know what, we're only really making money off of Flash, so we're going to discontinue everything but Flash. Fine. Actually, I have no issue with that. Then I can choose to say, you know what, I don't want to use your stuff.
I don't
want to use Chrome. I don't want to use Android, whatever. I'll go to a different platform.
But
not a big deal.
Here's the thing.
But don't lie to me
It makes it look like Chrome and the Chromium project are designed to be, and this is a good thing in a way, the best browser possible. Google wants to make the most awesome browser. That way everyone uses it.
Yeah.
And this is a brilliant strategy. Product adoption by making a great product. What an idea.
That's crazy.
And then you can make changes like this, sweeping changes like this that dictate the future direction of the web that guarantees lock-in of Google's revenues. If Google has some controlling power over future standards on the web, they can make sure they shape those standards in a way that continue to generate them the most revenue possible. And $500 billion is no joke, people. People will do whatever it takes to guarantee they get more than $500 billion next year. It's just the reality.
Now, I want to throw something out here.
If this was Apple doing this, it would be zero question.
Well, let's look at Microsoft for a second.
Okay.
Remember the antitrust complaints with Microsoft?
About bundling IE with Windows?
Bundling IE with Windows. Now, let's think about this here. The big issue, one of the big issues mm-hmm. is if Microsoft bundles a piece of software,
right?
Let's just generalize it, with their operating system, thus making it one of the most popular pieces of software
instantly.
On the planet.
Right.
And
figuratively.
And they come out and drop or add support for anything, it's scrutinized.
Mm-hmm.
We look at that and say, okay, now if Microsoft comes out and says, we don't want support for H.264,
right.
What would happen then? I mean, if Microsoft came out and said, IE bundled with Windows, well, we had support for
do,
a web
Do they
web
add support
codec.
For WebM?
No.
Honestly,
they only are modifying and dropping support for things that do not give them a competitive advantage. At that point, they get the bejesus suit out of them.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, the people
Honestly,
would
I think
go
they would
after
get,
them.
Yeah, I think they would get attacked.
And they would lose, is the thing.
And, yeah.
Now, Google just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Google obviously
but
did
see,
it in a way
word,
that benefits themselves fiscally.
But they put the word open in the blog post, Brian. And because they put the word open in the blog post, a large portion of our audience just eats it up.
Now, see,
like
I,
they're getting a blowjob from Google. And how dare I dispute the fact that they're getting a blowjob? Oh, look at Google sucking open standards off. That's awesome. It's not that, people. It's not that. Honestly, this week, I actually got depressed. I actually got a little depressed, and I didn't want to do Jupiter at Night the other night because I was so bummed that so many people online are getting completely hornswoggled by this.
Yeah.
People actually are believing Google's doing this move for them.
Yeah. What I hate is, come on. We're the Linux Action Show. While we may be fairly open to proprietary standards and, proprietary projects
sure.
and companies
or
doing
at least
things,
we're not closed-minded.
I'm not closed-minded. I want to use whatever's best. I prefer to use open standards and open source code wherever I can, and I push towards that regard. But and we're obviously open to it.
If WebM could take off, if WebM had a chance, dude, I would be on this bandwagon. As an online video distributor, I would love to have WebM.
We would be one of the first.
And I think, there's people out
look,
there.
I mean, we supported Aug. We still
yep,
support
we still
Aug.
Support Theora
even
and
though,
Vorbis.
Even though technically far, far yeah. less people use it.
One,
far, far less.
1% of the Linux Action Show audience downloads the Aug Theora.
Right.
10% download or the Aug Vorbis, the video version. 10% download the Aug Theora version. The rest either download the video, H.264 or MP3.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. We're associated with the open community, with open standards, with et cetera. We get lumped in with supporting Google because of the way Google phrases it.
Mm-hmm.
So people would automatically assume that we totally support.
And if we
what
don't,
doing.
People
and if we
get
don't,
mad.
We're wrong yeah. because obviously we hate open.
Yeah.
I like open. What I don't like is being lied to by companies and people yep. doing companies doing things that only affect their fiscal bottom line
and then playing us
hurting
to
our
claim it's for us
freedom
to claim it's open it's just to claim it's promoting freedom
because they're shipping H.264 they're just not shipping H.264 used via one tag
they're making you use Flash
they're look, making you use
they
Flash.
Have a partnership with Adobe people look it up
it's very very straightforward I all right.
Now, I know one of the responses we're going to get is, well, look, guys, Opera and Firefox never had H.264 support. It's not about that.
It's not about that.
Yeah. First of all,
I don't think that every browser should add H.264 support. I really don't. I honestly, Chris, I think you like H.264 a lot more than I do. But then again, I don't do video editing.
I actually do because WebM is an open project. The code's available. I think within a year, if WebM adoption took off, I think it could be technically on par with X264. And I want to make a mention here. X264 is even more significantly advanced than standard H264 that we've been talking about. X264 is now what I deliver our videos in, yeah. and it is amazing. It is also an open source project under an open source license. And they've done a complete technical review of the WebM codec, which I will link in the show notes. And they say right now it's technically not comparable in terms of quality, but I think WebM could. And I would love to see WebM take off. I really, just like I would have loved to have seen Theora take off. It never happened.
Right.
It can't happen. The ecosystem doesn't allow it.
No.
iOS is locking people into H.264.
Yes.
Everything online.
Android is locking people into H.264.
Microsoft is. Windows Phone 7 is.
Right.
It's just where we're at. And so people have to deliver via H.264. And that means on Chrome, they're going to have to deliver via Flash, which means we're sticking with Flash for at least a few more years.
And here's the thing. I don't dislike Flash. I really don't. I'm probably one of the most pro-Flash guys on the Linux
desktop. It's awful on mobile.
It's not great on mobile. It's great on the N900.
And you know what? A new beta for 64-bit came out. Full Hulu support. Yeah. 64-bit
it's
Linux.
It's great. But what I'm saying is...
I don't know. I have issues with Flash because it's been such a security whore. If you look at the top 100 crash causes of Firefox, they're all Flash.
But Firefox crashes all the time. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, okay,
Firefox
just
sucks as a browser.
I don't hate Firefox as much as you do. I'm starting to love it again.
All the time.
It is crashing a lot
for
me.
It's bloated. It sucks up more memory than my entire house.
We already covered it.
So anyway, my issue here, to sum up.
All right.
Wow, there's too much to sum
up. I know. It's big.
It's huge. So, okay. All right, one of the key issues is a company that's jerking us around.
Exactly.
Providing
that's
a delivery platform and providing the details of what that delivery platform is capable of, and then creating obviously false reasons to change what that delivery platform is capable of by removing
Can I pause you for a second? I want to thank you for calling it a delivery platform, because that is exactly what I think a browser has become.
Right.
It is a platform. I'm an infrastructure guy, right? I love to build good infrastructure. And to me, a web browser is the infrastructure to get you online to use web applications. And when you release a product, you now have a public responsibility to the public infrastructure on the web.
Yeah.
Everyone's frontline portal to the web now goes through your product. And when you add a feature and then remove a feature, you are dramatically impacting that infrastructure.
And this is the very reason we've made so much fun of Internet Explorer over the years. Because it's created so many heartaches for web developers to create applications, to create websites, web apps that work properly for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Microsoft has finally gotten their head out of their butts and started making a little bit of a better browser. Now, we may still not use IE all the time, but the latest versions of IE, they do render
much better.
IE
9 is supposed to be even better.
So that is good. That's going in the right direction. What would be the wrong direction is if Microsoft came out right now and said, you know what? We're dropping the bold tag from HTML because we think that there should be a better, more Microsofty tag. Everyone would go, are you freaking kidding me?
Right.
We're just not going to ever develop websites to work
with
your browser.
It would be like if Microsoft made VC1 an open spec. Oh, wait, it is. Then said, we're only supporting VC1 and maybe WMV.
By the way, VC1 is fantastic.
It is fantastic. These are all fantastic codecs. We're actually at the point now where we've got good codecs to choose from.
Lots.
And, boy, there's so many places to go with this. I guess I want to wrap it up by saying that I think the open source community sometimes gets jerked around a little bit. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, I want to read this.
This
here.
Is a Slash.com commenter who I think summed up the issue really
well. They did a really nice job. The guy's name Znu, ZNU. But I'm going to just read what he said.
Yeah.
Or she. I don't know. ZNU, whatever that could be. All right. And I quote, this serves two strategic purposes for Google. First, it advances a codec that's de facto controlled by Google at the expense of a codec that is a legitimate open standard controlled by a multi-vendored governance process managed by reputable international standards bodies. Open source does not equal open standards. And second, it will slow the transition to HTML5 and away from Flash by creating more confusion about which codec to use for HTML5 video, which benefits Google by hurting Apple, since Apple doesn't want to support Flash, but also sucks for users.
And that's what I'm worried about. As I'm worried this is a move to lock in Flash and a strategic move to hurt the adoption of the iPhone, which could be good, but also just really, we're all human people. iPhone users are people too, and they're just going to get hurt by this.
And what seems strange is
that's okay, but
my first reaction is obviously this is a move to hurt Apple. But then you think about it for a second, and you're like, well,
it's not. It's about locking in advertising revenue.
But an Android gets hurt in the same way.
Equal amount of hurt to Android.
Equal amount of hurt to Android.
Total equal amount. Because Android does. Yeah, I know. I know. It boggles the mind.
I don't understand. I mean, the thing is, with Android gets released like every 3.5 days.
Yep.
Like a new version of Android comes out. Yep. I believe we're on version 75.2 now, which I believe
we would
is,
know because that's actually all behind closed doors.
I believe this
so.
One's called Salty Donut. And so now it comes out all the time.
Yeah.
So
it does.
And despite that, the current version of Android that's out there, like 2.2 or whatever we're at, still records everything H.264.
I know. I think so someone in the chat room said they updated the Nexus S to support WebM. I don't know, but that would be
that'd
the only
be
phone.
That'd
be one
start.
Phone on the market.
What that tells you is that this decision to drop HTML H.264 was a spur of the moment decision that was not communicated throughout Google. So Google does not know that Google is dropping H.264.
I believe that is the case.
They just simply someone decided, you know what?
Well, the Chromium project decided.
We're going to do this. Yeah, it's
the Chromium
seriously,
project decided.
Guys, seriously.
So and Rekind chat room says that they're adding to WebM support to Android 2.3. Which is only on the Nexus S.
Great, and they're removing H.264 support.
Well, here's the problem.
They have to completely.
They should if they're going to follow
if
through.
If they ever release anything with H.264 at this point, I can call complete bullshit on everything they've said.
Well, here's the thing. There's no hardware chip for WebM in the Nexus
doesn't
S
yet. Matter. Doesn't matter.
Well, it's
going to
be a total
software.
Battery killer. It's going to be CPU-based.
Doesn't matter.
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't matter. They've already said that they're willing to hurt users and hurt content providers by restricting their freedoms and what they can deliver content in order to support freedom.
Well, you know what's great? Let's just wrap on this. Maybe we should wrap because I think people are probably getting
all
sick.
Right.
But remember when Google announced on this same blog that they're going to ship Flash and they said, look, guys, Google's all about open standards, but we also want that openness to mean use the web however you want.
Yep.
Our open take is open for commercial, open for open source.
Open for everybody.
We want everyone to have a fair, even competitive platform. So Google has announced we're including Adobe Flash with Chrome. That was the reason.
That was the reason.
And now they're taking out H.264. Well, that doesn't follow that logic at all.
Not at all.
So
not
it's,
at all.
Yeah.
It's to lock in a profitable platform. That's
and they're selling you, Linux Action Show audience member, they're selling you by claiming it's to make the web more
They're
open.
Not just selling you. They're using you as the excuse.
They're saying that
the community needs openness. And so they're taking what you're passionate about legitimately and they're using you. They're twisting your words. They're twisting
they're
your
needs.
They're
using you as a puppet to promote this too, to promote this idea so that way other people feel great about it.
So
they're using you to make it sound like a great idea.
Yes. They're lying to you. And they're lying about you. And if you don't eat... Now, I'm not saying you guys need to go out and be anti-Google. I'm not going to say
well,
that.
Well, look,
honestly,
we're using Google Docs.
Gmail
open.
Google Docs.
Yeah.
We're going to post this on YouTube later.
We're both Google Voice users.
Right. I mean, the thing is, don't take this as we need to all be anti-Google. But when a company does something that's like this, we have to stand up and say, wait a minute. You don't speak for me. You don't speak for this issue. You have no,
we're
no,
both using Chrome
no
as well.
Credence here. We are.
Yeah, I know.
I say
you just got to watch them closely.
It's a good web browser.
And don't be fooled.
Chrome
that's
is a
the point.
Good web
that's
browser.
That's the point.
So Google has done good things, but this is shaky. This is shady. This is weird. And you guys are lying to us and about us. Now I'm going to put this out there. Olive branch. Google. Someone, a peon from your PR department, call us, email us, talk to us. We would love to have you on the show. We will be nice. We will be civil. But we would like to hear your response to what we're saying here. Maybe just send us an email. Post it on your blog. I don't care. Let us know if you're just being misunderstood. Maybe what you meant to say was this is step one in a 27-step process to remove H.264 because we have these legitimate issues about it. And maybe even if we disagree with you, you're being totally legit.
That'd be an understandable rationale.
You just misrepresented it. If that's the case, let us know.
Maybe the guy that's going to write the blog post about Flash being removed is out till Monday. Maybe tomorrow there'll be a blog post saying, Flash, remove from Chrome.
Well, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day.
Tuesday. Maybe Tuesday.
And you know what? Big companies move slowly.
True.
Maybe it'll take a few days. By this next week of the Linux Action Show,
we should expect to see Flash
I should
removed.
Expect to see something.
Yeah, I would think that if they're being open.
Or a statement that we love Flash and we don't love H.264 because of money. I would actually give you guys a thumbs up for that. I love money, too.
Let's just be smart. Let's
tons
not get
money.
Played.
I
just
have,
keep your eyes open.
I have been clear. If, like, let's say Sprite.
Sprite.
I just inhaled a ton of Sprite before the show.
Good man.
It got in my lungs. I was coughing it up.
Got all up in there.
But you know what? It's delicious and tasty and limey. And if Sprite came to me and said, Brian, say only good things about Sprite. Here's $1 million. I'm going to wink, but then I'm going to say only good things about Sprite because I love money and I have a price. I understand. Yep. I get it, guys. Yep. Yep. Just please don't be full of crap. Please.
I know. All right, Brian. Boy, that's it, right? You feel good?
I hope that's it.
All right, let's wrap this
show
up. I
got nothing else in me.
Let's jump out of this, man.
Empty. Thankfully, that brings us to the end of this week's broadcast. I am exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
We spent ourselves.
I'm spent. Let's see what we got going on here.
Let's get some feedback from the folks.
Yeah, I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this stuff. I mean, are we way off base here? Are we just out of touch with reality? If so, let us know. Go to jupiterbroadcasting.com. Go to jupitercolony.com.
Yep.
Talk to us in the forums. That's a great way because that gets some discussion going. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're completely wrong and we're the only people that think this way on the planet. If so, let us know.
Hey, you know, we never did our predictions episode, so if folks want us to do that still, let us know, because a lot of you submit some good predictions.
You know, and I do have some absolutely insane ideas of what might happen this
year. Do you want to just do that next week?
Let's do that next week.
It might be a little late, but like Rikai and Chairman said, we still have 11 months left, so let's do it.
We still have 11 months.
Now, I want, before we go
Come
further...
on, what happens in January anyway? All the good stuff.
I'll tell you what happens in January, Brian. You ready?
Yeah.
Illumination Software Creator 3.0 ships.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even have to pimp that.
Well, congrats. I just wanted to say congrats.
Thank you.
Big. What's the new feature?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't really want to talk about it too much on the Linux Action Show. The new feature is iPhone and iPad support.
Gotcha. But so now you're telling me I can make an app for Linux desktop, for Android phone, and for the iPhone and iPad?
Yeah, and for Flash websites, and for MAMOs, and for N900s and N810s.
I cannot. So when do I get MeeGo support? When there's an actual MeeGo device?
When there's a MeeGo device.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. MeeGo support's pretty much ready. There's no MeeGo device, so I don't know what to develop for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have to wait a little bit so I can get a device and try it
on there.
I mean, I can already use a little emulator and kind of play with it that way.
And it works.
But it's not the same.
You don't want to ship for the emulator.
I mean, what are they going to do? What are people going to do? Going to be like, awesome, I can make apps that can be emulated.
Illumination Software Creator now supports applications running in an emulator.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, but again,
be there, I'm sure. I have faith.
I just want to point this out. I love open standards and open source. But I'm obviously okay with developing for closed platforms. Like Illumination, the whole point is develop it for as many platforms as possible.
Well, unfortunately, it's still the case because of the penetration of Linux desktop that tools like yours are what make applications happen for Linux in the first place at this point.
That's kind of how I feel.
Because, companies will be writing applications probably with the main target of Windows, but if it's just a checkbox to make the Linux desktop version.
If you just click a button.
And then you start with that, and then the developer starts working under Linux because he can write the same app under Linux. So, you know what? I don't need to go to Windows 7. I'll go to Linux.
And here's another way to look at it. There's a lot of really cool Flash-based and Air-based applications, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of cool ones.
I like TweetDeck. Well, I don't use it much.
Well, now, what if people could develop for that, but then, you know what? They know that some people don't like Flash.
Check a box.
Python GTK version, a mobile version, an Android version.
I like.
Boom, right out of the gate.
That is sweet, dude. All right, man.
Anyway, it's out there, radicalbreeze.com. You can grab it.
Now, so next Sunday, so you still have a chance to leave us your prediction.
There's a review in Linux Journal magazine. If you want to read about me and what I'm doing, Linux Journal for January.
I like Linux Journal.
I haven't
picked
it up yet.
Linux Journal is one of my favorite Linux magazines.
Hopefully they said nice things. Yeah. They could just say that Brian guy.
Real dick.
He's a bunch of garbage.
He hates Google.
He's garbage. Yeah, the guy's garbage.
All right, so if you have a prediction, it's not too late. Submit it to us. Put it in the show comments or something, and we'll try to pick it up for next week's episode.
Absolutely. Okay. Facebook.com/JupiterBroadcasting, Twitter.com, Brian Lunduke, Chris LAS. Those are all good things. That's absolutely all I got. There it is, on the table. Click things, type things, speak things.
It's nice. Great. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much
Sprite for
watching or listening
Seriously,
to this episode.
All it costs is $1 million, guys who sell Sprite. What company is that? The Coca-Cola Company. They got money. I've heard that they've done things before with money. So look at this. 100% natural flavors. I won't disagree with that if I'm paid $1 million.
All right. Oh, before we go, I don't know if it'll fit in this episode, but I want to make an announcement. Alan, we got a great, great bunch of feedback regarding the BSD segment we did with Alan. So Alan is going to start submitting BSD tips that we'll probably include.
Oh, that's cool.
And it'll depend on the length of the episode. And this one was a long one because we had a lot to say, so I don't know if it'll fit in this one. But going forward, you'll be able to tune in at the end of Linux Action Show and catch Alan's free BSD tip. There's a bunch of guys in the Jupiter colony that are trying out FreeBSD for the first time.
I love FreeBSD.
My bet is they all come back.
Yeah.
I've gone to FreeBSD, but as a Linux
user... I've gone to FreeBSD and PCBSD many times.
I think Linux users always come back. You know what I mean?
So you know what I do? Linux Fest Northwest. Every year I go there, and they have the PCBSD booth.
Yep.
And the guys that do that booth are great. Check out our Linux Fest Northwest coverage.
Chris, the main PCBSD guy, has been there often.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. I always come home, and I'm like, you know what? I got to give this another try.
Yeah.
I load it up, and I love it. And I do nothing but think about how great it is. And then I go back to Linux.
Same.
I don't know why.
But that might work out for some of you, so look forward to our BSD tip segment, thanks to Alan. That'll be coming up in future episodes of the Linux Action Show. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Linux Action Show, and we'll see you right back here next Sunday.
My hair's funky, but I like it. It's got like a thing going on. What if it happens when I go like that? Well, that didn't help any. I just made it weird.
I sound drunk?
You sound drunk.
I don't think so.
I don't think you do.
All right, ready?
I've heard him drunk a lot. And this is not Chris drunk.